way, I'd like to see who I'm preaching to this morning. So in the words of Linus, lights please. Except he wanted them off, I want them on. All right. Ah, now I can see you. Good morning. Merry Christmas. What a special day. We come on the Lord's Day every week and celebrate the fact that our Lord Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead. And this year, we get to not only celebrate that, but also celebrate the fact that he was born and he came into the world. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And I know many of you were here last night. I saw you last night. We had a great time last night worshiping the Lord. And here on this Christmas morning, on this Lord's Day, I'd rather be here than any other place I know of, worshiping the Lord Jesus. I want you to open your Bible to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I've been preaching a series of messages during December that I've called the Biblical Basis of Christmas Carols, and I've been looking at some different Christmas carols, and I've come to this last one, and I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on Silent Night, Holy Night. While you're turning there in your Bible, let me give you just a brief commercial about Westside Baptist Church. I don't do this a lot, and I probably don't do it enough just to let people know what our church is doing. I know there's a lot out there that other churches are doing. We're grateful for anybody who's sharing the gospel and what they're doing. But at this time of year, I just want to remind you that we just finished an event a couple of weeks ago that we call the Living Nativity. And during that event, we had hundreds of cars and thousands of people come through, and we presented them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that when we do the Living Nativity, that it doesn't stop there in the manger in Bethlehem. We take them all the way to the cross and the empty tomb. And we saw many people come to know Christ as their Savior. So I want to thank all of those who had a part in that. Brother Lee has been a big part of that. Carrie Chapman led out in that. But many of you, we had volunteers who were here day after day for weeks getting ready for the Living Nativity. And I think on the west side and all of Jacksonville, the Living Nativity has become a blessing to the city of Jacksonville. So I want to say thank you, Westside Baptist Church, for your participation and doing that. And really, this year, for the very first time, we accepted donations. We've always advertised it as a free event, and it still is a free event. But we accepted donations for the very first time. The reason for that is because, as you know, everything else is going up. Cost of everything's going up, and it's become it's more expensive to do the Living Nativity. So at the end of your giving, if you're looking to make a contribution, that would be a good place to put some money to be able to help with that. But anyway, I'm grateful for that. By the way, I was thinking about this as well, and it sounds like I'm just talking about the music ministry, but there's all kinds of ministry. But our jazz band a week ago was out at Jacksonville International Airport, and our children's choirs were out there as well. And there in the large area where travelers are coming to and fro, they were out there, I think from 11 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, sharing the gospel, singing songs, but not only doing that, but also just letting people know the love of Jesus Christ. And so we appreciate them doing that. Our musicians have been out in the mall also during December playing. We just appreciate all that so many people have done. I told you I was going to give a brief commercial, didn't I? So I'm doing that right now. And I also want to say one other thing. We do a thing here in our church called Project Joy. There are people that many of us, myself included, are very blessed. But there are some people that they wouldn't have Christmas if somebody didn't help them. And so we have some folks that we try to help their children to have a Merry Christmas. I wish I had the exact numbers for you today, but I think this year in our Project Joy, there was about somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 children that we helped. And what we do is we ask people who are helping And many of you do this individually. Some of you do this as a connection group. Your class gets together and you collect money. But we ask you for these children, we put kind of a number out there, and we say, spend $150 on these kids. So you take, if my numbers are right, if it's around 80 children and we put about $150, that's about $12,000, folks, that God's people gave just to help other boys and girls have Christmas that otherwise probably would not have Christmas. So I just want to say once again, Westside Baptist Church, thank you for what you do in helping bring the message of Christmas, not only in this room, but also outside of this room, because as we know, there's lots of people who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so anyway, I just wanted to say that to you this morning. I've been looking for times to do that. I don't have many opportunities to do that. And so I just want to say, I love my church. Thank God for you. You're a blessing to me. All right, done with that. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. Join me in standing, please. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. I started in verse 1 back in the first Sunday of December. I'm going to go through verse 20 this morning, and this will bring to a conclusion this series on the biblical basis of Christmas carols. I want you to pick up in verse 16. Follow along with me, if you will. The Bible says, "And they made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." I want to talk to you for a few moments about Silent Night, Holy Night. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning. Thank you, Lord, for these folks who got out of bed on Christmas morning. And I don't know what they've done prior, but Lord, they got dressed, they came to the house of God. And Lord, we're here, as we sang a long time ago now, we're here to worship you. We've come to worship you. And we've done that through our singing, but God, we want to do that now through your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will just permeate this room. And God, would you move up and down every row and tug at every heart. Say to us what we need to hear today. Make your word relevant. God, I pray that today that you would forgive me of my sin. I pray, God, that you'd cleanse my heart. I pray, God, that you would take control of my mind. And I pray, God, that you'd loosen my tongue that I might speak the truth of the word of God. And Lord, whenever it's all said and done, I pray that people will make commitments to you today. God, I pray if there's any person in this room who knows about Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus, God, I pray that this will be their day to give their heart to you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I've been in Luke chapter 2 now for the entire month of December, and it is probably the most read Christmas passage in your Bible. It is the passage that Linus quotes in that great movie, Charlie Brown Christmas. And it is one of my favorites of all the Word of God. And I think of Silent Night, Holy Night when I read the verses that I've just read to you. I won't take a long time today, but Silent Night, Holy Night was written by a Catholic priest. He was actually from Austria. His name was Joseph Mohr. He had a church organist by the name of Franz Gruber. The two of them together would sometimes talk about Christmas songs, and one of the things that they both agreed on was the perfect Christmas song has not yet been written. And one particular Christmas time, they were thinking about that, and of course, back in those days, a lot of people were writing songs, and so it came around Christmas time, and for some reason, the church organ was broken. They could not play the church organ at Christmas time. Joseph Mohr took the pen and he wrote down some words that we now know as Silent Night, Holy Night. And because the church organ was broken, the first time that it was ever sung, it was sung to the accompaniment of a guitar. And they sang it for the very first time. Well, the story says that a few days later, after Christmas, that the church organ still being broken, a man came to repair the church organ. And while he was repairing the organ, he noticed a sheet of paper there, and it was the words and the music to Silent Night, Holy Night. And it was that church organ repair man who gave it to other people, who gave it to other people, who gave it to other people, and it spread around the world. And that song will be sung in all the major languages of the world this Christmas. Probably one of the favorites, if not the favorite, Christmas carol of all time, Silent Night, Holy Night. I want us to revisit that night for just a moment. I want you to do with me what the shepherds did here in my text. That's whenever you read the scripture in verse 16 where it says, "And they came with haste." They is a reference to the shepherds. And I want us to visit that first night when Christ was born and the shepherds made that journey. I want to say a few really quick things to you about that night. Number one, this almost goes without saying, it was a momentous night. It was a night unlike any other night. And when the Bible here ticks up in my passage of scripture talking about they, that they are the shepherds. They were the ones who were keeping watch over their flock by night. They were the ones that were sore afraid, as the King James says, when the angel appeared. They were the ones who first heard the angel say, "Unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They were the ones who heard a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. And they were the ones who said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass." And so the Bible says in my text, "And they came with haste." The word haste is a word that means in a hurry. It is a word which means that they began to run. Whenever I think of that in my mind, I picture these shepherds running to Bethlehem. I see them jumping fences, and I see them splashing through creeks, and I see them searching through barnyards, everywhere they're going, trying to find this Christ child. It was a momentous occasion, and I can only imagine the heartbeat of those shepherds as they had heard the angelic choir sing in cosmic stereo about the birth of the Savior, and they're running as fast as they can to find where the Christ child is. I'll say this to you this morning. I only have one simple point to say from that. I want to say this to you, that whenever you know that there is a Savior that has been born, there ought to be an urgency in your heart to find him as quick as you can. There ought to be that urgency. I'm here today to say to you on this Christmas morning that a Savior has been born. I'm not an angel announcing that, although my wife says I'm always up in the air harping on something, but I'm not an angel. I'm simply saying to you that the babe of Bethlehem has been born. And as we've even heard through our singing this morning, we need to always remember that the babe of Bethlehem is also the Christ of Calvary, who died on a cross for our sins. So he came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and all that you and I might have eternal life. And if you've heard that story, if you've not heard it before, you've heard it right now. If you've heard that story, then it ought to be a momentous occasion for you to say, "There's an urgency in my heart to give my life to Jesus Christ." Secondly, notice this. It was also a marvelous night. The Bible says they went looking for this baby. The Bible says they found Mary. Mary was that teenage girl from Nazareth. She was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. She was the young lady in Luke chapter 1 who had found favor with God. She's the one who had yielded herself to God and said, "Be it unto me whatever you want me to do." She was the one who was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She was the one who for 9 months had carried the Son of God. And so they found Mary,
Bible also says they found Joseph. Joseph was that young man, that carpenter, if you will. He was a good man who wanted to do what was right. As far as we know, that whenever the Christ child was born there in that stable, the only attending physician there was a carpenter. But when those shepherds went going across those hillsides, they weren't looking for Joseph, and they weren't looking for Mary. They were looking for that baby. The Bible says they found that baby, and there we find once again in the text that he was lying in a manger, a feeding trough. He was wrapped up in swaddling clothes, strips of clothing. That was the one that they had come to see. And now this baby is the center of their attention. He is the focus of their attention. And we need to always say this at Christmas time. Jesus, the baby, that's the focus. Step aside, Mary. Step aside, Joseph. Step aside, animals. Step aside, shepherds. Because the focus of Christmas is Christ. The baby Christ. Oh, I can say, probably like many of you, I found him a long time ago. I found him in the First Baptist Church of Burns Flat, Oklahoma. That's where I was whenever I heard the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. And as a seven-year-old boy at the First Baptist Church in Burns Flat, Oklahoma, like those shepherds, I came and found the Christ child, and there it was that I asked him to come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. And whenever I prayed that prayer, I'm going to tell you, it was a marvelous night. It was a marvelous day when I gave my life to Christ. And I will say this to you today, if there's never been that time in your life, the most marvelous thing that you'll ever do is bow your head and bend your knees and say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and be my Savior. It was a marvelous night. Thirdly, I want to say to you, I'm in verses 17 and 18 now. It was a missionary night. The Bible says that whenever those shepherds saw the Christ child, they began to make him known. Now, we're not told in the Bible what the conversation was between when the shepherds got there and talked to Joseph and talked to Mary, but I can almost use my sanctified imagination and come up with a little bit about what they talked about. I would imagine that probably the shepherds said, we were minding our own business out there in the field one night, and these angels showed up and started telling us that a Christ child had been born. And whenever they began to open up that conversation, I can imagine Mary saying, now let me tell you what happened to me. She said, I was minding my own business one day when the angel Gabriel came to me and told me that I'd found favor with God. I imagine Joseph said, well, let me tell you my story. And they all began to have that conversation. We're not told what they did, but probably something like that. However, the Bible is not silent on the conversation between the shepherds and all who would listen. The Bible says the shepherds reported what they had heard about Jesus. That is, they told other people that he is the Savior, that he is the Christ. The Bible says the people responded to what they heard. The Scripture says they wondered, that is, they were amazed at everything that they heard. My point simply is this, that whenever these shepherds saw the Christ child, that they could not keep him to themselves. They had to tell other people about him. And I'll say this to you today, there's nothing more important than telling a lost and dying world about this one called Jesus Christ. Friends, all around us there are people who live every day who do not know Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I was thinking of it this morning. Most of the world will celebrate Christmas today, most of them will celebrate without any thought of the reason that we celebrate, and that's Jesus Christ. And so here at Westside, we like to get together on a regular basis, and whenever we get together on Christmas Eve, we don't come just so that you can have a warm, fuzzy feeling on Christmas Eve. And whenever we come on Christmas morning, we don't come just so that you can have a warm, fuzzy feeling on Christmas morning. We come into this place to sing to you and to preach to you and tell you that a Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. And the best thing that will ever happen to you is to receive him as your Savior. There's another thing I want to say quickly, and that is verse 19. It was also a meditative night. Verse 19 kind of tells us that Mary was left alone with her thoughts. And the Bible says after the shepherds left, she kept all those things in her heart. The word kept means that she remembered. It means that she treasured them. You could say that she kept them close. She kept them safe. She remembered them. So she kept all those things. And the Bible says she pondered. Have you done any pondering in a while? The word ponder means to consider deeply. It means to reflect upon. And I would imagine that in her mind and in her heart, everything that had happened from that first visit from Gabriel to the birth of her son and the shepherds coming to see her, don't you know that all of that was just playing in her heart and her mind over and over? You ever get something in your head that just won't go away? You ever get something going on in your heart and it just won't go away? I would imagine that Mary was like that. It was going over and over again. I've said this about Mary many times. She was a simple girl, but I do not believe she was a shallow girl. She understood what was going on. Mary will do the same thing whenever he's 12. Back, if you continue to read in Luke's gospel, verse 51, chapter 2 says, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. So she does that a lot. I say that to say this to you today. It's good to ponder the Lord Jesus. It's good to stop sometimes and just think deeply about the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this one time when I was preaching from Isaiah, whenever Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together. Christianity is a thinking man's religion. Some people don't think it is. It's a thinking man's religion. But I'll tell you what, if you'll ever just turn everything off, and if you'll just slow down, and if you'll stop for a minute, and you will think about this one who came miraculously into the world, who lived a perfect life, who died on a rugged cross, who rose from the dead, if you will ever just ponder upon him, think about his virgin birth, think about his virtuous life, think about his vicarious death, think about his victorious resurrection. By the way, while you're doing all that, think about his visible return, because the Bible says one day this same Jesus will come again. If you'll ever sit down and just ponder him for just a moment, think about him for just a moment, I think you'll give your heart to him. Amen. It was a meditative night. One last thing, verse 20. It was a memorable night. The Bible says these shepherds, that they returned to their sheep and they returned to their fields. That is, they went back to being shepherds, but I will submit to you that they were never the same. Scholars believe that these shepherds were probably worshipers of the one and only true God, and they were looking for a redeemer, and now they had seen the redeemer, and they had met him, and so that's why the Bible says that they are now glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. What was that? Well, they heard the angels singing. They'd seen the babe in the manger, and by the way, the appropriate response whenever you've seen the Christ is to glorify God and to praise God for him. Oh, what a night, what a wonderful night, what a silent night, what a holy night, because he changes lives forever. And I've found through the years that those who really know him, you don't have to prod them to praise him. They want to praise him. I read my Bible, I find that people are oftentimes praising him. The Bible says over in the second chapter of the book of Acts that whenever there was a lame man there who met the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was leaping up and he was praising God. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 3 that there was one who was leaping up and praising God. And that silent night, holy night, was interrupted by shouts of praise from those who had found the Christ child. And I hope even this morning that in the midst of celebration of the birth of Christ, that in your heart you have praised him, worshiped him, glorified God for sending his son. Oh, there are many great nights that are mentioned in the scripture. It was a great night back in the Old Testament whenever the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage and the death angel was passing by, and but he did not stop where the blood had been applied to the doorpost and the lintel. It was a great night whenever Daniel the prophet was placed inside of a lion's den, and yet the Bible says that God showed up and gave all those lions lockjaw and Daniel was not harmed at all. It was a great night when Paul and Silas found themselves in a Philippian jail, and at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. And God reached down and shook that jail and changed that jail keeper. There's a lot of great nights mentioned in your Bible. But the greatest night was the night when Jesus was born. Friend, that's when God stepped out of heaven, wrapped himself up in human flesh, and became a man. That's when God demonstrated his love for you and for me. As I said last night, the highest of the high became the lowest of the low. The richest of the rich became the poorest of the poor. And the reason he did it was for you and for me. And if in fact we do not come to that place in our lives that we trust him and receive him as our Savior, then we've missed really the purpose of what Christmas is all about. I've always thought that Christmas on Sunday is a special time. Now, some people get all stressed out about it, and some churches don't know what to do about it. I think the thing to do is come to the house of God and to worship the Christ child. And so, but I want to, Christmas is a special time. Man, did you see that this morning? Getting baptized on Christmas morning. Isn't that special? Isn't that exciting? Getting baptized on Christmas morning. I can only think of one other thing that might be better than that. And that is for you to get saved on Christmas morning. To give your life to Jesus on Christmas morning. To let him move from just somebody that you know about in your head to someone that you believed on with your heart. And today, before we leave this place, I want to give you an opportunity to do the best thing you ever do, and that is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. But before we do that, I want to invite you today to look at your heart, to do as Mary was doing pondering. I want you to look at your life. I want to ask you a question today. Do you know for certain that you have eternal life? Do you know for certain that heaven is your home? Has there been a time in your life whenever you have come to this one who we come to worship every Lord's Day and you've said to him, Jesus Christ, I give you all of my life for the rest of my life? Man, he'll change your life and he'll change your eternity. So if you've never given your heart to him, and you may be a young person, you may be an adult, you may be a grandparent, I don't know. But if you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, you can do it right now. And in just a moment, whenever we stand to sing, I'm going to invite you to walk down one of these aisles, come take one of our pastors by the hand, and come to them today saying, I'm giving my life to Christ today. I want him to be more than somebody that I sing about, somebody that I know about, somebody that I read about. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe there's something else God wants you to do. Maybe you already know him, but you need to recommit your life to him. You've been walking a distance from him, and he's bringing you back to himself today. And you want to recommit your life to Christ. Come do that today. Maybe you're looking for a church home. God brought you to Westside, and you say, you know, Christmas Day would be a good day for me to make Westside my church home. Father, today, we just come to worship you. We come to thank you and to praise you and let you know that we love you. And Lord, right now, we come to a time of making commitments to you. And God, in this building, and maybe watching online or listening on radio, there are others who need to make a commitment to you. And you've brought us here today to hear your word and to hear you speak to our hearts. And God, I just pray that your will be done in the life of every person today. And God, we'd especially pray that if there's someone here who's never placed their faith in you, that today would be that day. So God, please have your way in every heart right now, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing right now? Our pastors are in their places. If God spoke in your heart, there's something God wants you to do, just come down one of these aisles. Come take one of these men of God by the hand. They will help you. Someone will pray with you today. God bless you as you come.